This episode was recorded in June 2020. If you enjoy this podcast, then subscribe to catch all future episodes.
Right, we're going. We're recording now, okay?
Come on, bud.
What? So tell me about the specs. How?
I would say 10 years struggling with the specs. It's just vanity that I won't put them on and just like get through it. I'm all right long distance. It's short distance, I'm not so good. So, and it's getting worse and worse. So I'm going to, and I can't have contact lenses because my eyes are really sensitive. So I've got to go but I got to go and get proper ones made up.
Get sponsored by Specsavers, mate. You'll be rocking.
I may ask, actually. Yeah. I may ask.
So what happened? You fell off your bike, did you? Because we were due to do this an hour ago, and then suddenly it was like, oh, hang on, my bike, I've had a puncture. All that old nonsense.
Well, we're out in the country, so it was lovely, like, cycle. Right? And because, like, my knee shot to pieces, my hip, my ankle, like, I obviously had a car crash when I was playing, and there was lots of games in them days. So all my hips, my knees are knackered. So cycling's perfect exercise. The Lycra's not the best, mind you, on me, but you got to wear it because otherwise, you know, you don't. It's very uncomfortable on them saddles, Rob. Do you know what I mean? I got stuck today, and I'm thinking I've got to get back. McCaffrey's calling me at 11:30, and I'm in the middle of bloody nowhere.
How was China?
China was, really good. We lived in Beijing, which was incredible city. Obviously, you know, I've lived in Greece, I've lived in Spain. So you get used to, like, the different cultures, but, you know, the Chinese culture is completely different. And that was quite a little bit scary going into it, but exciting as well. You know, we had the kids there. Charlotte came with me with the two little ones, and they were in a really good school in Beijing. We got into it really well. It was good. It was exciting. You know, in that part of the world of football, if you're there a season, you've done all right because it's very much in and you're out. And, you know, they don't take any prisoners. But it was a super experience, really good. It's definitely not something I would turn my nose up at again if it came my way, because, we really enjoyed living out there, especially because we were lucky we lived in Beijing. And that was a really good city.
Well, how was it communication-wise with the players and the board? I guess that was difficult at times.
Yeah, a lot of the players spoke good English, broken English, but good understood. And football's universal language anyway. Once you train in them, you know, tactical sense and stuff like that, they're not stupid. But I had a 24/7 translator who was absolutely magnificent. Magnificent person, first and foremost. I absolutely loved him. T, his name was. And he was an ex-player. Then he'd, like, been a coach of the under-21s. And he was a super intelligent boy as well. So he came and stood with me, literally out of my hand. He was absolutely fantastic. But I took Kit Simons with me and Adam Owen and Tony Roberts from the Welsh setter. And they loved him. They loved this guy. Because you know what, Robin? You need people around you that you trust. You're going to have people around you, and then they may be good at their job, they may be good coaches, or they, you know, tactically, technically may be good, or they have loads of information. But if there's no trust there, it's going to fall down quickly. And this guy that we had was absolutely magnificent, absolutely brilliant. And so he just made it really smooth for me. And it, you know, sometimes if I'm losing it in the dressing room and I'm getting a bit aggressive and I'm trying to nail someone, that was fine. Because delivering the words, he was actually doing my expressions, and that was funny at times. So we used to laugh afterwards because he's only 5'3", and he used to try and, like, you know, get aggressive with someone. And afterwards, I used to have to walk out of the room sometimes. I couldn't hold my, but he was superb. And of course, the language is naughty, and you're never going to learn it because it's so difficult. The Chinese language is so difficult. It was a great experience. Fantastic.
What about, not so much a night out, but what about the whole place and the whole experience? Did you sort of throw yourselves into it?
Yeah, no, you have to. I think you have to. You can't go there. You can't go anywhere. You can go to another country. You, and you want to do a job properly, you've got to throw yourself into it. You know, you can't expect to go anywhere and expect everybody to change for you. You've got to understand the environment you're in. You've got to understand the ways of those people. And you have to accept that. And you have to somehow try to get all your ways across to them and appeal to them. But they're not all going to change for you. So, and especially when you're living in a big city like that, you've got to get used to where it's, you know, what's going on. And, you know, none of us were allowed to drive a car while we were there. And, you know, it was dangerous. If you're not from there, you can't drive because it's pretty much, you know, it's nuts. It's, there's no rules. It's, you know, everybody drives whatever they want to drive in. So you've got no chance, really. But then you've got phones, you're paying with your phone. There's no cash or very lash billings with a phone. So it was easy for my wife, Charlotte, my wife. She was brilliant. She needed a taxi, dialed number four, and a taxi 5 minutes into the city centre, something like that or something, dirt cheap. So everything's done. And it was, you know, it was made really easy for us. But it was a fantastic place.
What are you going to do now?
Yeah, we're going to wait this out until this virus thing is finished, whether that's another month or 6 months, whatever that's going to be. But if we can, we'll try and go abroad again if we can, because we love the experience. And I've done it before anyway, even before I met Charlotte. Then Charlotte came to China with the two little ones. So we love abroad. And that, if we can, go and work abroad again, that's what we love to do.
Some great opportunities, potentially, isn't it? You look at America, you look at Australia. I mean, you look at the Middle East as well, which I know you know quite well.
Yeah, I think, you mentioned Dubai, and that was an option at one point, some time ago, but it was a wrong time for us. But I wouldn't rule that out in the future. I wouldn't rule out anywhere, Rob, in the future. You've mentioned Australia, you know, the MLS is getting more and more difficult to get into because it's really taken off and everybody wants to go there to work. I can't, you know, I'm not fussy. I work anywhere in the world if it's exciting. I don't want to look back on my career, Rob, and I missed out on two or three opportunities because it's on the other side of the world. I'd rather go there, experience it, and then, you know, when I'm done and I've hung my boots up, then at least I can look back at those experiences rather than miss out because I only want to work in England. I mean, I'm not criticizing anybody that just wants to work in England. That's up to them. But the world's a much bigger place and there's so many fantastic experiences to be had, you know.
I've got to ask you about... I've spent the whole morning watching Euro 2016 again, actually. Which I know, wherever you go in your life, you know, it'll be with you. How do you reflect looking back on it from, what, 4 years is it now?
Yeah. Yeah, you spent all morning watching. I've been watching it since 2016, Rob. Don't worry about that. my wife hates Wales. She's had enough. She's been watching every game every day for 4 years.
Oh, brilliant. Hey, what a time it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't it unbelievable?
So lucky. So, you know, just to be in that position at that time and experience that was... It was just absolutely, you know, even if you dreamt it up, I don't think we could better it, except if we got to the final, of course. But it was, you know, Robbie, you've been in the industry, albeit on that side. Sometimes you work with a group of people and it's not so good. Sometimes you work with a group of people and everybody connects. It's a great bunch. It's a working bunch, respectful, trust. Everything's in there that you need. And that's what we had with Wales. And it was really, really special. Yeah, fantastic.
Could you enjoy it at the time or was it just mayhem?
Mayhem. You don't enjoy it at the time. At the time, the tournament was so intense, you know. You're pretty much on an 18-hour a day where you're up in the... I was up at probably 6 or 7. Straight in with my analysts looking at games, looking, can we find 1% somewhere from anywhere? Making sure in every training session is right down to the last detail that we need. But then obviously with the players, you don't want to be doing that to the players all the time when you're barking and because they need a bit of space. So you've got to get that distance right. So I was lucky with my staff. They were superb and we had a great atmosphere at the camp. And where we stayed in Dinar, which is right on the coast in Brittany, was a perfect getaway for us. So we could have a bit of downtime. But the games were thick and fast. obviously the pressure on every game is huge because, you know, you can't lose. And it's just absolutely incredibly intense. And when we came back 2 days after the Portugal game, we were all absolutely exhausted from it all. Because it's the, you know, it's the mental, it's not the physical thing, it's the mental thing that you're going through every hour of the day, basically. And we were just exhausted, but what an experience.
I mean, I think that's one thing people fail to realise, isn't it? No matter what international country you're with, it's the whole country. Everybody's going absolutely nuts, aren't they? And I mean, I guess that's the hardest part of your job, is to almost go, right, lads, go and have a night out, or go and just try and take the pressure off them, even though you're probably suffering yourself.
It's nothing like, Rob, when you're at a club, right, and you're disappointing 20, 30 or 40,000 fans, and they're not very happy with you, you know, then obviously it's hard. When you're from a country, we're only 3 million in our country, but 3 million people is a lot of people, and when they're unhappy with you, then you do feel that. You do feel that. And I felt that. But then when you flip that and you get them on your side and they're with you, then there's no feeling like that whatsoever. And, you know, and you're right with the players, pressing the right buttons, just staying away from them and giving them a bit of space, giving them a bit of downtime is just as important as when you're pushing them and when you're working hard, trying to get the game plan right. Because you've got to get them right mentally and they need a bit of rest from it all. And we managed to do that with them. And so when we were going into games, they were absolutely ready to go, you know. But super feeling, super, super feeling.
You'd be a very, 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 very rich man. I always try to not ask the obvious questions, but I've got to ask about Gareth Bale. I mean, is he the best you've worked with?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, best player. Best player I've worked with. He reminds me, Rob, of, you know, if you ever saw me play, we were very similar, me and Bale. Very, very similar.
In terms, we both
needed oxygen to breathe. And after that, we're nothing like each other, right? he's an absolutely magnificent player. Great. And a great player to work with. Great. As long as you're organised. Because he likes to know the game plan. And he likes to know we've got a game plan and we're organised. And after that, he was dead easy. But a super player.
Do you think he's underestimated? The way it's sort of, you know, the stuff that comes out of Madrid. Do you think people don't realise how good he is?
They paid 80 million quid for him 6 years ago. They've won 4 Champions Leagues in that time. So, you know, they've never dominated the Champions League like that, I don't think, or, you know, not many times where they've won 3 on the bounce or 4 in 5 or 6 years. So if people said when he first arrived there, they're going to win 4 Champions Leagues. I think he's won 11 or 12 trophies since he's been there. It's not like he hasn't delivered. And yeah, he's had 1 or 2 down periods, but who doesn't? And I just think he's been fingered out and accused of this, that and the other. And people don't concentrate on what he's actually done since he's been there. I mean, if you look at any player that's ever come out of, not just Wales, the UK, that's played abroad, nobody has done what he's done. Nobody has done what he's done and won what he's won. I think he's done a brilliant job for Real Madrid, and he's done a brilliant job for football in our country, or footballers in our country, to say, look, this is what we can produce. And I think he's done a great job.
Will he ever come back to the Premier League?
He may do. I think if it was right for him and his family, he's very family orientated. And I think if his, you know, his wife and his children, if that appeals to him, then he'll come back. And he could come back and play for any team in the Premier League still now. What's Gareth now? Is he 29, 30? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But he can still come back and play for any team. He could. He's a great, great player.
Right, listen, quickly, because I want to run through a few things for you. Because I think people forget you actually played. I actually just think they think you're a manager and just rocked up. So, quickly, Chris Coleman, 10 questions. Who was the best player you played with?
Played with or played against?
Played with.
Played with best player, Ryan Giggs. Ryan Giggs, hands down. He's a freak, absolute freak. I've never seen anybody, except for Gareth Bale, running one direction and change direction so quickly without losing balance, total control of the ball, and just, right. I felt sorry for Giggsy when we played with him for Wales. He was so far ahead of everybody else. He was just such a great player. But yeah, Ryan Giggs, hands down.
Best player you played against?
Best player I played. In terms of a man-marking job, well, it was an attempted man-marking job. It was Alessandro Del Piero, the Italian striker. That 90 minutes lasted 6 weeks. It was bloody hard, that mate, I tell you. Cool.
Best manager you worked under?
The most I took from in terms of tactical and training and formations was Jean Tagana. In terms of psychology and man-to-man management, Kevin Keegan was excellent. I think Terry Orth gave me my big break at Swansea City. He turned me into a man quickly. Mark Hughes was good when he took over the Welsh job. Mark Hughes was very, very good. So I got a bit of ball, bit a bit of this and a bit of that from quite a few of them.
Tell us a Bobby Gould story.
A youngster's watching this.
I don't care.
Bobby. When looking back now, because I'm a manager myself, looking back, we should have cut him a bit more slack when we did. But some of it he brought on himself, because I remember once he said, right, we've been having a bad time. He said, right, now we're going to do everything like the Brazilians do it. We're going to wear the best kit, the best tracksuits. We're going to stay in the best hotels. We're going to train on the best pitches. This is in the meeting at 9:30 in the morning. So we're going to do the best of everything off the pitch to try to get the best from you on the pitch. He said, so let's go training. So when we went to go training, we got on a bus, and the bus wouldn't start. So that was the end of that.
Brilliant. What a story. Best spell of your managerial career. What did you enjoy the most?
My first year at Fulham was good. We were fourth up until January, where we were written off as relegation cannon fodder. And we ended up finishing ninth. That first year was a baptism of fire, but it was great. Obviously, the Welsh experience was amazing. I loved it in Real Sociedad. That's my biggest regret is resigning from Real Sociedad. I shouldn't have done that.
I know washing machines and all that were mentioned, but why? Because they did ask you to stay on, didn't they? Why did you say?
Well, I had a three-year contract. The president that took me there was voted out in the December.
Yeah.
New president came in and just, it was just a farce, really. It turned us into a farce because players were arriving and I didn't even know where they were. I was losing players that I didn't even know were on the way out of the club, and he just messed about with my team. And I did as a principal. I said, I'm not, you know, it's written in my contract that I sign players and I sell players. And I had that written in there, otherwise I wouldn't go there. So I could have held him to ransom because he'd broken my contract. But I didn't. In the end, I told the Real Sociedad supporters, who were fabulous, I said, look, this is why I'm leaving. I didn't take a penny. I ripped my contract up. I said, I don't want anything. I'm off. I don't want to work with him. And I should have shut my mouth because 4 months later, they got him out anyway. They saw through it all and they got him. And we were flying. You know, we were unbeaten in 12. We were like 2 points off automatic promotion. I think we were fourth in the league. It was going great. But, you know, when you're younger, you're a bit more feisty. And sometimes you can't control your ego as well as when you're a bit older. And I should have just stuck it out because it was a great, great time. But I ended up resigning, but that was a really good experience in Spain.
Great place to live, that.
Yeah, it was super fantastic. The food was just absolutely amazing. You know, I was there by myself at the time, and I got some friends over, and we got out. We'd had a few drinks one night, and we went over the top. The wine was too tasty, call it what you like. And, of course, the next morning, we had a press conference, and I was late for the press conference, an hour late. And that's where the story came. I said, oh, I had a leak in my apartment and the washing machine blew up and I was just coming out of all sorts. Yeah. So that's where that story came from, the washing machine, yeah. But it was a great, great place. It was a fantastic place to live.
Would you ever go and manage Wales again?
What am I going to do with Wales that's going to better than what I've already done?
I think maybe down the line, Giggsy's doing a great job now. It might be way down the line. It's just one of those. I mean, I spoke to Sam Allardyce the other day. I know you know really well. And he said, the one thing we seem to be throwing away is experience. I mean, you're heading towards the whatever it is, 35 now. I mean, you know, your experience, you'll be a better manager, won't you, as you get older, basically.
Well, it's funny, Rob, because I'm a far better manager now and a better coach than I was when I managed Fulham in the Premier League.
Sure.
And that's just exactly because of what you just said. It's because of experience. The longer you stay in it, if you want to learn, absorb it, then you come out of it better. So I think Sam's right. It's football trends now. It's younger coaches. Let me tell you something. They haven't got new ideas. Football is football. There's a net at one end and a net at the other. The size of the pitch is the same. There's a referee. There's 11v11 you start with. There's only three ways, right, to score a goal. You either go over the top, right, or you go through the team, or you go around the side. You can't go underneath, can you? So there's only three ways you can do it. So all this new stuff that's coming out. I remember 15 years ago when I started, I was like a young coach, and people were talking about this new breed of coaches. Nobody discovered a different way to score a goal. It's the same ways. The training sessions may be different because now it's trendy to do this, that, or the other. That's all right. You can let people have their 5 minutes. But you shouldn't know. You should never throw away experience. Sam Allardyce is absolutely right. And look at Roy Hodgson doing a great job at Palace, Roy. Roy was written off here, there. He's been at Palace. He's going into his third or fourth year. Palace, a lovely Premier League team. They're in a great position. Roy's experience, absolutely fantastic.
Last one for you. Can you put into words the feeling when you beat Belgium in the quarterfinals of the Euros? It's suddenly three. I mean, go on. Can you quantify it? We'll never understand that.
Well, it was. I remember going back to the hotel, and I didn't want to go to sleep because I didn't want to wake up and it all be not true, and I just dreamt it. So I remember thinking, I'm going to go to sleep. I can't go to sleep. But this has definitely just happened, right? We are in the semi-final of the European Championships. But the feeling was, normally when you win as a manager, it's relief. It is relief. Whatever you've been planning and working on, it's relief. Rather than you celebrating, it is just relief. But that night was, not many nights I've celebrated as a manager. That night I did celebrate because it was such an amazing experience. It's one you never forget. But I haven't got one word, Rob, just to sum that up. It was just when Sam Vokes added that third goal in, and then you know the game's won because there's only 3 or 4 minutes on the clock. You know, and Belgium was spent. That was you take a deep breath and you know everybody around the world's watching it and you're a part of that. And it's an incredibly strong feeling and one you never, ever forget. And I've said before, you want to press pause on everything and just stand there and watch everybody and just sit in it for 5 minutes. The problem is, I've been sat in it for 4 years, Rob. I got to take that pause button off. You know what I mean, mate?
Keep it on, mate. Keep that pause button on. Hey, listen. Lovely talking to you as always. Hopefully catch up with you very soon as well.
Yeah, look forward to it, mate. Love to the family.
Take care.